Let us pray. Lord God, may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, our hope and Redeemer. I have mentioned before the subject of repetition in Scripture, how repetition often occurs as a means of being able to remember what is being said and communicate the message that is contained within a particular text. And that it's especially important to remember that the texts that we read today in Scripture in ancient times were not read because most people couldn't read. They were, in fact, declaimed or spoken by someone who could read the text. And so repetition was a way in which both the speaker and the audience were able to remember what was being said and the themes contained within what was being said. And this happens in the Gospels as well. The Gospel writers were writing to particular communities at particular points in time for particular purposes. And their Gospels would not have been read by the community at large, but read to them. And so the Gospel writers employed all the tactics of oratory that existed then and which still exist today in order to aid their audience's memories. And one of those forms of repetition is the repetition of themes. So that quite often what you have are blocks of text or episodes in the gospel that spell out the same theme in different ways in order to make and reinforce the point of the gospel. Now, the gospel according to Matthew, as I have also said on previous occasions, is often described as the most Jewish of the gospels. And it is likely that the author of this text was a Jewish Christian who was writing to a community of Jewish Christians in the early period of the church, and at a time when there were emerging and developing conflicts between the Jewish Christian community and the Gentile Christian community. And part of the purpose of the author of Matthew's Gospel is to highlight Jesus' role as the Messiah, as the promised one who fulfills the covenant with Israel. But as we also saw in last week's readings, one of Matthew's themes is about what it means to be called, what the calling of faith asks of us and speaks to us. And last week we saw how the call of Matthew himself was a call into his own healing, a call into which God shone the light, quite literally, as we saw in the painting by Caravaggio, the light of healing into Matthew's own hurt and brokenness, in order to then call him into discipleship. And how that discipleship was about replicating and spreading Jesus' own gospel of healing. And of course, Matthew, writing to a community of Jewish Christians at a time in the history of the early church when there was increasing tension and sometimes even violence between Christian and Gentile communities, that message of healing, of binding up wounds, is especially relevant and important. So today's passage, today's reading, acts as a kind of bookend to last week's reading. It's once again about the call of faith and the summoning into discipleship. And it's once again about the mission and the purpose of discipleship and the call to faith. But whereas last week's reading was on the theme of self-healing, this week's reading is about the healing that ministry provides to the world. Today's reading begins with Jesus viewing the crowds, going around through the country, teaching and healing, and the crowds coming to him. And the passage tells us that he was filled with compassion for them. To the text we heard today says they were worried and helpless. The NRSV translation uses slightly stronger language. It says they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without shepherds. That's a really evocative, emotive term. They were harassed and helpless. It really strongly illustrates a sense of the plight of the people at the time. And of course, in making this statement, the author of Matthew's Gospel is reinforcing the criticisms previously heard last week when Jesus was criticizing the Pharisees, how they, instead of exercising a ministry, a leadership of healing for the people, were instead oppressing them with judgmentalism. And so Matthew repeats that criticism again today. The people were harassed and helpless because they had no shepherds, no shepherds who provided them with guidance or healing, but who simply laid upon them the burdens of judgmentalism. And of course, in using this image of the shepherd, Matthew is reaching back into the sacred history of Israel. Because shepherd was one of the attributes given to the kings of Israel and Judah. And one of the criticisms that the prophets in the Hebrew scriptures make is that the kings failed to be proper shepherds to the people. Instead of leading them into a place of healing and hope, they led them into danger and destruction and death. So this image of the shepherd and the sheep will have had resonances to this community of Jewish Christians that perhaps don't occur to us today. But we see here, as it were, the double-edged sword that is contained in this passage. It is both a criticism of the leaders at the time, as well as a reference back into the sacred history of Israel. The text then names the disciples, and these are names with which we are all familiar, even if, you know, there are some of the disciple group who are more prominent and well known than the others. For a long time when I was a kid, I thought Thaddeus was the real name of the chief in Get Smart. Didn't know it was a disciple. There you go. But it's always interesting to note how Judas is listed. Judas is always listed. You might have thought after the fact, it might have been more convenient to sort of pretend Judas hadn't existed and we sort of wipe him out or minimize him. But Judas is always listed. And the fact that Judas is always listed, and the fact that Judas is one of the disciples whose feet Jesus washed, reminds us that discipleship and the call of faith is a call into vulnerability to others. That the ministry of healing, that the ministry of proclaiming the gospel is not about our own status and our own standing and our own self-aggrandizement. It is instead a calling into vulnerability. The vulnerability of exposing ourselves to others, to making ourselves available to others who may or may not respond positively, who may or may not respond genuinely, who may or may not be inclined to use our vulnerability towards them for their own purposes. So Judas' presence in that list is always a reminder to us that we are being called not to grandstand, but in fact to be vulnerable. And then Jesus commissions the disciples and tells them to go out and to enact the healing ministry. And as with last week, their ministry is meant to be an embodiment of Jesus' ministry. Jesus, in both passages this week and last week, they begin with Jesus going through the country and ministering to others, and ends with the disciples being told to do the same, to minister to others. But in today's reading, there's a little bit of a twist. The passage there that we heard is the passage that this text often gets translated as, "Do not go into the Gentile lands, but stay among the people of Israel." And the usual interpretation of that is that, well, Matthew was the most Jewish of the gospel writers. He was writing to a community of Jewish Christians, and so therefore he was emphasizing Jesus' identity and role as the Messiah, as the fulfillment of covenant with Israel. But in fact, there are some scholars who argue that this is a misinterpretation. And again, as I have said on previous occasions, we must always remember that the scriptures are translated texts from ancient Hebrew and ancient Greek. And so there is always a margin of error. And there are some scholars who argue that this passage actually reads, not do not go into the Gentile lands, but do not go down Gentile roads or pathways, or do not go down the roads of the Gentiles. Now, This is an interesting interpretation, because as we know, in Jesus' time, Israel was under occupation by the Roman Empire. What are the Romans famous for? Roads. All roads lead to Rome. The Romans were superb civil engineers, and their empire was linked and connected by an extraordinary network of roads, many of which are still in use today. For example, go to England, most of the main highways are in fact old Roman roads. Of course, not the original road, but follow the same line and direction. So what does this mean if the gospel author is saying, don't go down the roads of the Romans, don't go down the Gentiles' road? The clue is in that final sentence. You received without paying, do not provide without payment. Jesus is telling the disciples that this is a ministry, not a business. This is about proclaiming the gospel, not about generating profits. This is about speaking God's peace to the world, not about winning, paying customers. Jesus is warning the disciples not to go down the road of replicating empire, but instead of proclaiming the kingdom of God. And this is a really, really important point for us today, because we look around and we can see that there are certain churches that are full. Not just full, but overflowing. And they've got hundreds and if not thousands of people. And they're rich. They've got lots of money in the bank. And their pastors and their senior staff and all the rest of it. Private jets, chauffeured limousines, flash homes. There are some churches out there that, in my view, are not churches. They're businesses. And there are some churches and models of church out there that are not about the proclamation of the gospel. They are about replicating all the features of corporate capitalism. They are the churches that I think have gone down the road of empire. So when we contemplate today's reading, when we think about it in connection with last week's reading, we need to read and hold the two together. Because what faith calls us into, and what discipleship calls us into, is firstly the healing of our own wounds and hurts, and then into the vulnerable and precarious ministry of healing that is proclaiming the gospel to the world. We are called not to replicate the forms and structures of empire, but to be and embody the kingdom that is here among us and is still on its way. these two readings challenge us to rethink what it means to be both people and community of faith. And they also call upon us to be vulnerable to one another and to the world, not for our own security and self-aggrandizement, but for the sake of the Christ who loved us all and died for us all when we were all still sinners. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.